A plastic that's 3 times more thermally conductive than steel and stronger than most aluminum alloys. It's not science fiction. A report from the Chinese Academy of Sciences this week details a new carbon nanotube composite with exactly those properties. As manufacturing materials are being fundamentally reinvented, the question is, are Western companies prepared to compete? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in the world of advanced materials, with major breakthroughs in carbon nanotubes and graphene that pose a direct challenge to Western incumbents. We'll also dissect a multi-billion-dollar bet from Japan's Canon, aiming to upend the semiconductor equipment market. And finally, we'll look at two new nanotechnologies waging a new war on antibiotic-resistant superbugs.
These aren't incremental updates, Susie. These are foundational changes. The developments in China on polymer composites, in particular, signal a new era of competition. U.S. and European firms need to understand the threat and the opportunity immediately.
Let's start there, Troy. We're seeing a flood of news about materials like graphene and carbon nanotubes. This week, what's the big story?
The major event is a paper from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, published June 19th. They've developed a carbon nanotube reinforced plastic that fundamentally changes the game. It has a thermal conductivity of 143 watts per meter Kelvin and a tensile strength of 663 megapascals.
Okay, Troy, translate those numbers for us. What does that actually mean?
It means this plastic conducts heat better than stainless steel while being stronger than typical aluminum alloys, all at a fraction of the weight. Simultaneously, we're seeing the commercial landscape mature in North America. Hydrograph announced a partnership on June 17th with Modern Dispersions to scale up fractal graphene production, which can boost material strength by 20 to 70%. And First Graphene just completed its acquisition of U.S.-based Mito Material Solutions to penetrate the American defense and aerospace markets.
So China demonstrates a massive leap in performance. While U.S. and European companies are focused on scaling up production of existing tech, what are the direct implications for a U.S. or European manufacturer, say in the automotive or electronics sector?
The competitive threat is severe. A U.S. manufacturer of heat sinks for electronics, traditionally made of aluminum, now faces a Chinese competitor who can produce a lighter, moldable plastic part that performs better. European automotive suppliers could be displaced by lighter, stronger composite components for everything from engine parts to battery casings, all originating from Asia. The opportunity, however, is to aggressively integrate technologies like hydrographs. A 20% increase in the toughness of a thermoplastic part could mean winning a major aerospace contract.
And for trading companies and distributors, is this something they need to source now?
For distributors, the key is distinguishing between lab-scale breakthroughs and commercially available products. The Chinese material is likely a year or two from mass availability. In contrast, the graphene master batches from the Hydrograph and Modern Dispersions partnership are available now. Western distributors should be securing supply agreements for these North American-produced additives immediately. They represent a tangible, near-term enhancement they can offer to their manufacturing clients.
What is the single most actionable insight here for an executive?
Mandate your R&D and procurement teams to conduct a 90-day audit of all components currently made from aluminum, copper, or standard polymers. Identify where weight, strength, and thermal management are critical, and begin pilot projects with North American graphene and CNT suppliers within 6 months. Do not wait for the competition to do it for you.
Let's shift gears to the heart of all modern technology, the semiconductor. There's a David and Goliath story developing, with Canon taking aim at the market leader, ASML.
That's right. Canon announced a 50 billion yen investment. That's about 320 million U.S. dollars in a new factory in Japan dedicated to nano-imprint lithography, or NIL, equipment. They claim this technology can produce chips at the 2-nanometer node, directly competing with ASML's dominant and vastly more expensive EUV, or extreme ultraviolet, lithography. The factory is set to begin operations in September 2025.
EUV is the gold standard that every major chip maker like TSMC and Samsung relies on. How can Canon's NIL, a completely different method, even compete?
It competes on cost and simplicity. EUV uses extremely complex lasers and optics in a vacuum to project patterns on a wafer.
NIL, as the name implies, physically imprints the pattern using a mold. Canon claims this process uses up to 90...
Exactly. Materials like molybdenum disulfide, just one atom thick. They're a path to post-silicon electronics, but fabricating them at scale, at the 50-nanometer pitch they achieved, will require incredibly precise and cost-effective manufacturing. That's the exact opening Canon is targeting with NIL.
So for U.S. and European companies that design or manufacture chips, what does this mean?
For fabless design companies in the U.S., like NVIDIA or AMD, a viable, lower-cost alternative to EUV could dramatically reduce the barrier to producing custom, cutting-edge chips. For European manufacturers, like STMicroelectronics or NXP, this could be a strategic opportunity. They could potentially build new, advanced fabs without the multi-billion-dollar price tag of an EUV system, reshoring advanced chip production.
What if you're a trading company that supplies chemicals or components to the semiconductor industry?
The material supply chain for NIL is completely different from EUV. Trading companies need to map this out now. NIL requires specialized resins and mask materials that are not part of the current EUV ecosystem. Building relationships with the suppliers of these materials, primarily out of Japan, could create a massive new business line as NIL gains traction. Market timing is critical. The window to establish these partnerships is the next 12 to 18 months, before Canon's factory hits full capacity in 2027.
And the actionable takeaway for executives?
If you are in the semiconductor value chain, you must assign a team to evaluate the technical and economic feasibility of nano imprint lithography for your next generation products. Engage with Canon directly. The potential disruption to the cost structure of advanced chip making is too large to ignore.
Finally, Troy, let's turn to nanomedicine. The crisis of antibiotic resistance is a constant threat. What new weapons are emerging from the lab?
We saw two very promising developments this week, targeting multi-drug resistant bacteria, often called superbugs. The first, reported in Science Daily on June 18th, is a smart wound care system using photoactivated nanomaterials. When exposed to a specific wavelength of light, these materials achieve a 99% bacterial reduction in wounds, even destroying the protective biofilms that make infections so stubborn.
So it's a light-activated dressing that kills bacteria antibiotics can't touch. What's the second development?
The second, from Advanced Science News, uses graphene quantum dots. When activated by low-intensity blue light, these quantum dots generate reactive oxygen species that destroy bacteria. They demonstrated a greater than 99.9% kill rate against multi-drug-resistant S. aureus and E. coli. Both of these technologies attack bacteria with a physical mechanism, not a chemical one like antibiotics, so resistance is far less likely to develop.
This sounds revolutionary for healthcare, but what's the specific angle for our audience in manufacturing and technology?
For U.S. and European medical device manufacturers, this is a clear and immediate opportunity. The companies that develop the light-emitting devices needed to activate these nanomaterials will own a critical part of the value chain. Imagine a handheld, battery-powered blue LED device designed for clinical or home use. This is a new product category. Manufacturers of wound dressings must now see their products as platforms for integrating these advanced nanomaterials.
So the dressing and the activation device become a single treatment system. What should distributors in the medical space know?
These treatments are moving towards human clinical trials. Medical distributors need to start tracking the companies commercializing these specific technologies now. The play is to secure exclusive distribution rights for specific regions, like North America or the EU, well before FDA or EMA approval. These are high-value-add products, not commodities. They will command premium pricing, so establishing early partnerships is key to capturing that margin.
And the single action an executive in the medtech space should consider?
Task your business development team with identifying and vetting the top 5 startups in photodynamic and nanomaterial-based antimicrobial therapies. The goal should be to initiate partnership or acquisition talks with at least one of them by the end of this year. The convergence of nanomaterials and medical devices is creating a new market, and the first movers will have a significant advantage.
A lot to process this week, Troy. If you had to boil it down to the 3 most critical takeaways for U.S. and European business leaders, what would they be?
First, the materials landscape has been permanently altered.
The performance of the new Chinese carbon nanotube composite is a Sputnik moment for Western plastics and metals companies. The immediate action is to double down on R&D and forge partnerships with domestic graphene and CNT producers to accelerate your own product innovation. You are now in a materials race. Second, the semiconductor manufacturing monopoly is being challenged. Canon's investment in nano-imprint lithography is a credible threat to the high-cost EUV ecosystem. Every company in the electronics value chain must now factor this technology into their strategic roadmaps. It could democratize access to advanced chip production.
Third, nanotechnology is creating entirely new medical device categories. The fight against superbugs will be won with systems, not just drugs. Manufacturers must pivot from selling simple sterile dressings to developing integrated systems of advanced materials and activation devices. This requires a shift in thinking from passive products to active therapeutic platforms.
A materials race, a challenge to the semiconductor monopoly, and a new generation of medical devices. Powerful insights, Choi. Thank you.
A pleasure, Susie.
That's all the time we have for this week's Choi Technical Intelligence. Join us next week for another strategic briefing on the technology that matters. To make sure you don't miss it, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, thank you for listening.